Book of Joel, chapter number 2. The book of Joel, chapter 2. Read two or three verses and then we'll give you some thoughts tonight out of the Word of God. Verse number 1 says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain." Sounds like a command, doesn't it? Joel the prophet, through God, sent a word to mankind that we should be sounding an alarm. There's something about to happen. He said, "Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations." Let's skip down and catch verse 11. "And the Lord shall utter His voice before His army, for His camp is very great, for He is strong that executeth His word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. And who can abide it?" Brother Adam, pray tonight. Yes, Lord. Yes, God, help me. Oh, Lord. God, speak to us tonight, Lord. Bless him, Lord. Help him tonight. Yes. God bless, Lord. God help. Amen. The book of Joel consists of 3 chapters and only about 73 verses in these 3 chapters, but some of the greatest prophecy that's given in the Old Testament comes from the book of Joel. The sending of the Holy Ghost is mentioned, and Peter mentioned it on the day of Pentecost, that it was just a fulfilling of what Joel had spoken of. But I'm interested in this verse up here, number 1, where it says, "For the day of the Lord cometh, for it's nigh at hand." Now I'm going to preach on this thought. The day of the Lord is coming. And it's one day closer than it was yesterday. One of these days, friend, these words of prophecy are coming true. Now Joel was prophesying to Judah, his people there, and certainly there's a twofold prophecy in this passage of Scripture right here. He was speaking to his people who'd gone back on God, and God was about to judge them. Judgment was imminent to the people of Judah. And he was sending a warning out to them right here in this passage right here. And he, just like our God, to always send a word before He sends judgment upon somebody. And He always offers mercy and grace before He judges a people. Can I tell you today, we live in the day and age of grace. This great and terrible day of the Lord, it's coming to mankind one of these days. To those who are not born again, blood washed, and are called out in the rapture, friend, there's going to be a time that Jesus said there'd never been a time before like it, never will be after it, the terrors and the troubles of those times. That day I looked down through the pages of the Word of God, friend, through the different time periods and the different prophecies that's been fulfilled. And friend, I realize tonight and I believe with all my heart that this day is nigh at hand. This day that we live, friend, We could be raptured out of this world before the sun rises in the morning. And the great tribulation period could be ushered into this world, friend. The day of the Lord is at hand. We better be getting ready to meet Him. I hope tonight that everybody in the house is saved. I hope that you got that settled in your heart. And I hope you're looking for His appearing, friend. But let me tell you something, friend. The world today, I'm afraid that most of churchdom today has no idea that the Lord is soon to come. Not looking for Him. Not longing for Him. And certainly don't love His appearing. But oh, we better be getting things in order, friend, because He's coming. And the day is at hand. First of all, I want to look at the signs of the time. Now, there were some things going on in Joel's day that compared to our day is very similar, I believe. Joel starts off in chapter number 1 and he mentions about a past day of a locust plague that swept through the land and devoured everything green. What a terrible thing. They didn't have food. They faced a terrible time in their economy. You realize we got a bad economy today? Throughout the entire world today? Man's trying to figure out what to do, but man is too bullheaded and too stubborn to ask God what to do. And that's the way folks was in Joel's day. They wouldn't listen to the man of God. They wouldn't turn to the God that gave them liberty and gave them life and gave them their country there. The God that puts food on the table and shoes on our feet, shirt on our back, friend. We live in a day when man don't realize the hand that blesses him. Joel in that day, friend, there was a locust invasion. Eat everything green, and then afterwards there came a great drought in the land. Oh, let me tell you something. The signs of the time of Joel's day and our day are very similar. It was a time of disasters. You know, you watch the news nowadays, and just we got world coverage on our news screens, on our TV screens, and every night you can turn it on, and somewhere in the world there's some great disaster taking place. Floods and famines and earthquakes and hurricanes and great disasters that's taking place throughout the world. If you listen to the news, friend, they say that storms are going to get worse and hurricanes are going to become more powerful. We're looking at a time of disaster in the world today. It was taking place in Joel's day. You know what it was all about, friend? God uses nature to get man's attention, whether we realize it or not. It ain't Mother Nature. It's God's nature, friend. And God uses it to try to stir man, to get man to look up to Him. And call upon Him. But you know, I've noticed people, a lot of times when some kind of trouble or some kind of disaster comes their way, they'll look to God maybe the next Sunday. It don't take man long to forget about God. When things kind of smooth out, they just turn their back on God and go their own way and do their own thing again. Oh, man's always been that way though, hadn't he? Man was that way in the prophet Joel's day, but God in His mercy and grace was sending them a word right here, trying to get them to repent because the day of the Lord in Joel's day, hey, God had a greater judgment that was coming to man. It was going to be an invasion by an enemy that would kill, steal, destroy, take captive the people out of the country in Joel's day. God was trying to reach out to them in mercy and get them to repent and turn back to Him. Oh, I see the hand of God throughout this world today, friend. If man would just humble himself and call upon God. But no, just like in the prophet Joel's day, man hardens his heart against the things of God. Man has took the Word of God and pushed it out of their lives, pushed it out of their country, pushed it out of the leadership of the United States of America, friend. Won't call upon God. And man can't solve the problems of this world. No, no, no. is a time of disasters. The locusts, the drought, the darkness and the gloom that he spoke about right here speaks of judgment that's coming, friend. It's coming one of these days. Don't look for the next politician that gets elected to be president to fix the problems of this country right here or this world right here, friend. One of these days we are getting out of this thing, friend, and the Antichrist is going to come on the scene, friend, and he's going to deceive people. Glad I'm going to be gone. Glad I ain't going to see that. I can pillow my head at night. Realize, friend, that I don't know how bad things is going to get before the Lord comes and gets His church out of here, but I know one thing. When He comes, I'm a-going. When the shout comes out of glory, I'm a-coming up. I may be at home in the bed at midnight. I may be up here on the hill in the cemetery, but I tell you one thing. I'll hear the voice of God call me, and I'm a-getting out of this thing. And it's going to happen. It ain't no fairy tale, folks. The Lord is coming. He's coming. He's coming. It was a time of disasters, friend. It was a time of great distress. You can look at the things that he spoke about throughout chapter number 1. He spoke to the drunkards, and he spoke to the folks down at the Lord's house, friend. He spoke to the vine dressers, the husbandmen, friend. Oh, he has many distressful things to say. He says, gird yourselves, lament, howl, ye priests, ye ministers of the altar. Oh, lie in sackcloth all night. Oh, listen to me. It was a time of great distress. Distressful times today that we live in, isn't it? Anybody got any stress? Huh? Well, I'm glad we got a refuge at the house of God. I'm glad we got hope in the Word of God. I'm glad I can come to the house of God and I can leave the things of the stress and distress of this world on the outside, and I can look to the things of God and realize there's hope in the Word of God for a child of God. Distress. People today, friend, we got folks that, I'm telling you, he spoke about alcohol, drunkards right here. There's folks today that's turning to alcohol. They're turning to everything in this world, drugs. And you know why? A lot of people do it because they're stressed. They're distressed. They're letting the things, the cares of this world are weighting them down. They're looking for an escape. People are taking pills to get them up. People take pills at night to put them to sleep, friend. All kind of stuff going on, friend. People are looking for a way of escape. It's a time of distress in the day of Joel and in our day also. If you read over in Luke chapter 21, look at what Jesus told us would happen in the times before He came. Nation would rise against nation, wars and rumors of wars, the ocean roaring, and all the things that's taking place in our world today. Friend, just look over there for just look with me just for a minute. I want you to be reminded of what God said about the last days right here. He said there'd be nation would rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Boy, we got so many opportunities to go to war, we ain't got enough men to fight them all. We have to be careful of what we do because we could get in so many conflicts around the world, we don't have enough manpower to fight it. Plenty of wars, it's going on, kingdom against kingdom. He said, great earthquakes shall be in divers places, famines, pestilences, fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Friend, the things that's going on in this world, it's not out of God's control. It's into His control, friend. He's sending it all from heaven upon this world right here to try to shake man up, to try to wake man up and get him to turn to Him. He gives us His Word right here to tell us all the things that's going to be happening. He said men's heart would fail him for fear. For looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And he says, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. We better be looking up, hadn't we? Listen, This Bible right here lines up with the 6 o'clock news. Don't know if you've noticed it or not, but it does. And Jesus said, friend, when you see these things begin to come to pass, you better lift up your head, look up, for your redemption is drawing nigh. He's coming again. He's coming again. For His own, He's coming again. A time of disasters, a time of distress, friend. But it's also, as Joel pins out right here, it's a time of decision. Multitudes, multitudes, he said, in the valley of decision. I'm glad God gives a person the opportunity to make that decision. I'm glad He came to me first Sunday in March of 1974 and let me make a decision before He passed judgment upon me. Multitudes, multitudes, Joel says, in the valley of decision. Anybody glad that they decided to accept salvation that Christ offered to you? Well, look what he said. In verse 14 of chapter 3, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Over in chapter number 2, he said in verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Oh, he's poured out his spirit. He's got the Holy Ghost working in this world today, convicting and drawing men, women, boys and girls. We ought to thank God that he's sent him to us one day to draw us. And he says in verse 32, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Glad He's still calling sinners today to repentance. A time of decision. The signs of the time. Let me tell you something, folks. It'd be sad for God to draw you and call you. And you say, well, I believe I'll wait one more Sunday. I believe I'll wait one more day. Then I'll come. Wonder if there was anybody in Noah's day that thought, well, you know, I may obey old Noah one of these days. I may take his advice one of these days. But one day the storm clouds gathered. The thunder began to roll. The rains began to come. The ocean gave up its shorelines. People run to that ark, no doubt. No doubt people run to that ark. But the door was shut. Judgment had come. Listen to me, friend. We've got the signs of the times all around us. Joel said, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, it's a coming. It's nigh at hand. We've got all, God's gracious enough to this world to give us signs to look at, to realize it's close. He's given us the Word of God that we can look at and realize that it's close. Not only the signs of the times, but the sound of alarm. Joel was a preacher. He wasn't a compromiser. He wasn't an ear tickler. He laid it out just like God gave it to him. And God help us men of God to do the same thing in the day that we live. Hey, old-time preaching may not be popular, friend, but that's what God wants. He wants the truth preached to a lost and a dying world, friend. Hey, let me tell you something. We live in a time when people would rather hear fables. They'd rather have somebody to tickle their ears. They want to go out. They want to live in their sin and go on and have a form of religion and deny the power thereof. That's the day that we live in. But I'm here to tell you tonight, I want to sound the alarm, Brother Joe. As long as God gives me the opportunity to stand up and carry the Word of God, I want to sound the alarm that Jesus is coming, that you better get right. Oh, let me tell you something. Joel, he sounded an alarm that I happened to notice over in chapter number 1. Notice in verse 15, he said, alas for the day For the day of the Lord's at hand, as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Notice in verse 16, he says, is not the meat cut off before our eyes? Yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God. You know, that kind of stuck in my craw when I read that right there. I got to thinking about the joy and the gladness is cut off from the house of our God. And I got to thinking about church in our day, Brother Adam. If a lost person could stand up here and look at all the long faces in the audience, he'd probably say, well, where is the joy of the Lord? Hey, I've heard you preach about it. I've heard you talk about it. Why is everybody so long-faced? Why is nobody praising God? Why is nobody thankful at the house of God? Joy and gladness. Where's it gone in our day? The cares of this world taking it away from us? Has sin crept into our lives and we don't have any joy anymore? Well, to be the happiest people in the world, Brother Joe, living in a day when the Lord's going to appear very, very soon, friend. The people that's been blood bought, born again, saved by the grace of God, ought to have something to shout about. You may have had a bad, bad day out yonder today. But let me tell you something. There ain't no bad days with God for a child of God, friend, that's got hope, friend, of getting out of this thing one of these days. The devil can't take that away from you. Hey, he might take your job away from you. He might take your spouse away from you. He might take your kids away from you, friend. But hey, let me tell you, if you're saved, friend, you got something he can't touch. Joy. I tell you, we need to repent. Get right with God. Ask Him to give us some joy in our life. We ought to be happy. Yeah. Can y'all smile? You glad you saved? Amen. We got something to smile about. We ought to be happy. Well, let me say, I won't sound an alarm for the joy that's lost. I tell you to get it back. Where'd you lose it? Where'd you lose it? It's available. Not only the alarm, friend, for the joy that's lost, but for the journey we're leaving out on. If you look back over in Numbers chapter number 10, Moses was commanded to make trumpets of silver. When Israel camped around the tabernacle, when it come time for them to move, there'd be a trumpet to sound. And they had a certain order that they would prepare to assemble and move out. Can I tell you, friend? I want to sound an alarm, friend, that very, very soon the trump of God's going to sound. Are you listening to me? I'm trying to sound an alarm to you, friend. When the trump of God sounds, the people of God are getting out of this world. Glad I'm going to hear that trumpet. It's an alarm. When the children of Israel heard that trumpet, they knew they was fixing to move. When I hear it one of these days, Brother Joe, it's moving day. Moving day. Moving out. Hallelujah, goodbye to this old world. The sound of alarm for the joy that's lost, for the journey that we're leaving for. But I want to sound an alarm for the judgment that's looming. Judgment that's looming. You know, the devil's got folks so busy nowadays, they don't give a whole lot of thought to the things of God. We give a whole lot more thought to material things, to pleasures, You know, Paul really nailed it down over in 2 Timothy when he's talking about the apostasy of the last days or the falling away in the last days. When he said men would be lovers of their self more than lovers of God, lovers of pleasures, heady, high-minded, incontinent, or no self-control. All the things, you look at it over there, I think 2 Timothy chapter number 3, you read those first few verses. You better get yourself out of them verses if you're in them. Amen. Let me tell you something. Judgment is coming. Look what God had Joel to pin down. In chapter 1 and verse number 2, he said, "Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days or even in the days of your fathers?" He said, "Tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation." Well, we better be sounding that alarm. You better be telling your kids. Hey, let me tell you something. Getting your kids ready for their dying day is a whole lot more important than teaching them how to hit a baseball, kick a football, whatever. Whatever your goal is for your kid, the main goal ought to be to see them saved. See them saved that they might escape this great and terrible day of the Lord that's coming upon this world. Well, we better be getting right with God. The signs of the time, the sounds of alarm, and then lastly, the sound of the trumpet. The sound of the trumpet. Like I said a while ago in Numbers chapter 10, the first trumpet was a call to assembly, to get ready to march, to get ready to move out. God's a God of order. Remember what Paul said over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? "I would not have you to be ignorant. When that trump sounds, the dead in Christ are going to rise first." He's a God of order. "Then we which are alive and remain are going to be changed." We're going to be caught up into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. It's a call not only to assembly, but a call to ascension. We're going, I'm going to fly that day. I trust my pilot, the Lord Jesus. You know, I don't even like to drive a car. I mean, ride in a car if I can't drive. I sure don't want to fly if I can help it. I did fly one time with a fella in a little single engine plane, and he like scared me to death. Oh me. And I hadn't been up again. But listen, the sound of the trumpet one day, friend, it's a call to assemble, it's a call to ascension, but it's a call of affection. You know, over in the Song of Solomon, in chapter number 2, you'll see the king as he goes down to his bride's house. And I love the words that he said. He said, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." Boy, I like to think that's what the Lord's going to say one of these days. That trumpet's going to sound. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. And I've always wondered what he's going to say, but I kind of believe it might be kind of like what was over there in the Song of Solomon. "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." Hey, he loved us enough to leave the glories of heaven, go down to Calvary's hill, and give his life there for you and me. Hey, what greater love could we receive from anybody? that He'd give His life for us and give us the hope that one day He's a coming for us. We may be planted in the graveyard, but it's going to come a getting up morning one of these glorious days, and we are heading out of this old troubled world. We are heading to heaven's shore one of these glorious mornings. Glad I've got that hope. Well, the sound of the trumpet, a call to assembly, a call to ascension, a call of affection, and it's a call of anticipation. I'm glad I'm a-looking for Him, Brother Joe. I'm a-longing for Him. Hey, if He comes tonight, I say, hey, hallelujah, even so come, Lord Jesus. Tomorrow probably is going to bring more troubles. Oh, but heaven's going to fix it all. Amen. Hallelujah. The day of the Lord's coming. It's coming. Just like He said. Thank you for coming to church tonight. Stand with me.